If you would, please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the joy of salvation. Thank you for another day and another opportunity to bring forth the word of God, dear Heavenly Father, to proclaim boldly what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray that today, that as we bring this message, as we do our portion, which is to speak it out, that you'll do what you've always promised to do, that you would draw, dear Heavenly Father. That you said for us to plant into water, but you said that you would draw. Lord, I'm asking today that you would draw, and that men's minds might be changed, their hearts might be changed, and that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. 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 Oh, today, I'm back. Some folks said I won't. Yeah, Sister Dancer said. She said, now, Pastor, I know you're ready to get back up there. Now, Pastor, just said, I said, I got an hour and a half. But I won't do it all today. Amen. But, y'all, it was just wonderful to be back here to do this. But today, we're going to talk about learning the Bible on a need-to-know basis. Learning the Bible on a need-to-know basis. I didn't know until I started doing this, working on this message, that there's actually an acronym, NTK, need to know. And because with the gentleman who preached on Thursday at our CEF conference, he was giving us all these acronyms, but need to know. And the Lord pressed on me about this. You can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. That's what we're going to be preaching from. But I'm going to give you this little intro and let you know that in certain portions of the Bible, there's a need to know basis. There's 66 books here, y'all. And I assure you, by the time you leave this earth, there will be things in here that you don't know. Okay? I worked construction for 35 years. And in the field of construction, there were certain things, there were certain doctrines, you might say, fundamentals, things that you needed to know. One is call before you dig. Okay? Call before you dig. That's real simple. Don't dig holes with backhoes before you know what's underneath the ground. Another one is, if you're an electrician, before you work on anything, turn off the power. Amen. It's something that you need to know. If you're a plumber, now I got this from a plumber. He told me this when I first started in the trades. He said, Wheelie, if you're going to be working on plumbing, wash your hands before you eat. If you're going to work on plumbing, wash your hands before you eat. You'll get that on the way home. When it comes down to biblical training, biblical understanding, you may go through your entire life never knowing anything about amillennial, premillennial, eschatology, kenosis, soteriology, Trinitarian doctrine. You may not know a hermeneutic from Herman Munster. But those are not necessarily things that you need to know. But what we're going to be talking about today is a doctrine that the Bible specifies. I would not have you be ignorant. You know what that means in a modern day translation? You need to know this. So if you have your Bibles open to Romans 11, 25, it reads, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about, as a topic, learning the Bible on a need-to-know basis. Learning the Bible on a need-to-know basis. Now, you can abbreviate that to NTK. Again, there's 66 books in this Bible. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by approximately 44 different authors. There is stuff in here that you will never lay your eyes on ever for the average Christian. But there's certain things that you really have to get a grip on, and we really have to grasp it. And the first thing that you need to understand as a Christian, salvation is available to all. Amen? John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16? Let's say it in King James Bible. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's everybody. You need to know that, because sometimes we find people that we really don't care if they make it to heaven or not, because they don't fit my criteria, okay? But understand, it's available. Not everybody's going to go. You know the song says everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, and that's the truth. But it's available to all. And let me toss in there, just to kind of clarify it, forgiveness is available to all, for all. You hear me? Did you hear me? I said to all, for all. Because some of us have done some stuff we don't ever want to see the light of day. Amen. But understand, you take it to the Lord. And he said, I'll take it and I'll cast it as far away as the east is from the west. It's available for all, to all, for all. Don't sell God short, y'all. And that's one thing that keeps so many people in bondage. They say, well, you know, but brother Will, you don't know what all I've done. You don't know all I've done. And I'm not going to tell you. I've taken it to the Lord, and I've asked his forgiveness. And the Bible tells me, whether I feel it or not, the Bible tells me he's just and faithful to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Now, if you ain't believing it, that's your problem, but I believe it. I know it to be a fact. I know it to be a fact. So when you get to doctrines that we need to know, that's numero uno. Salvation is available to all. Forgiveness is available for all. And it's when you spread, that's good news. That's good news even in the church. Because there's churches, the denominations that try to put you back in bondage. Paul even says, I think it's in Galatians, Paul says, you know, I just finished giving you the good news, and now you want to jump right back into bondage. You want to be trying to don't eat this and don't touch that and don't eat this. He said, no. Jesus paid it. Oh, amen. Now, salvation is available to all. In verse 25, verses 25 through 29, here's another doctrine that you need to know. All of Israel will be saved. All of Israel will be saved. Well, that's not right. That's not fair. That's not fair. But that's what the word says, right? You know what's interesting? Our radio program, Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. We're doing that program because there's so much misconception in the body of Christ about the role of Israel, about the role of the Jews in God's plan. And we read, we only half read instead of read the whole thing and taking in the full counsel of God. We know, we understand that nobody comes to the Father but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody, Jews and Gentiles. So how can the Bible say that all Israel will be saved? Let's read it. Excuse me, verse 25 through 29. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Woo, I'll repeat that again. And all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Y'all put a pin on that verse 26. Put a pin there. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Let's examine this a little bit here about where he says, all Israel shall be saved. Brother Fuller preached so well last week when he spoke about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And in Proverbs 3, 5, I'm just going to take Proverbs 3, 5, because here in verse 25, you can refer to what he's talking about. In verse 25, it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. He says, lest ye be should be wise in your own conceits. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Brother Fuller made it real clear that the biggest problem for us receiving the truth of the gospel is, let me think about it. We don't say, let me receive it. We say, let me think about it. And if we get real deep, we say, let me pray about it. As if that's going to change what the scriptures say. But he says, but when he goes, brethren, I don't want you. You need to know. I need to know. The church of Jesus Christ needs to know this doctrine. Because if you don't know this doctrine, it's like when you get that crazy GPS. We were driving down the street the other day, my wife and I. She's always fussing at me because used to be I'd get my little fold-up map out and I'd drive wherever I wanted to drive and never got lost. Never. Just I'd get my map out, boom, 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 boom. We'd go boom, 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 boom. Or sometimes since I drove around Dallas for so many years doing construction, I said, we called it, the family joke was we called it turkey sense. Well, now I got my GPS. Got me a new car, new toy. Okay. So we're just going over to Dallas, this place. We're going to Fort Worth. So I put it in the GPS. Right? Now, I know if I was going there, I would go down my street and I would go left. Well, the GPS said go down the street and go right. And so we get to the spot. Now, y'all understand, I haven't been able to drive for the last 4 weeks. My wife's been driving me around. Miss Daisy's been driving me around. And so she's driving, and I'm over there. I said, we already got the GPS set. She said, but Will, wouldn't you normally go? Yeah, but the GPS said go right. So she said, Will, you get real short when you get them. Just turn it. And then you know you're really in trouble when they don't respond. Her eyes were this way, but I know they were rolling. So anyhow, so we start following the GPS, and we're going. And it says, no, turn this way. No, turn that way. And she's like, Will, the GPS say, go this way. Y'all, I allowed this machine to make us about 20 minutes late for trying to get to where we were getting to when we already knew how to get there. God says, don't be wise in your own conceits. When you have a conflict between what you say and what God says, go with what God says. Amen? Go with what God says. He goes, don't lean on your own understanding. He said, because your own understanding on certain things is just, it's a stumbling block. So I get excited when he says that all Israel shall be saved. And so now we got to get into, well, how is this going to work? This is some slightly, it's not real deep because the Bible's not real deep, y'all. The Bible is just read it, Receive it, believe it. It's, if God was trying to make things deep, you could never figure it out. I could never figure it out. You know what he, you know what God did that is really deep? When he created the heavens and the earth. When he created the heavens and the earth, and I know that's deep. Now why? Because he told Jeremiah, he said, Lord, you know, Israel's a stiff-necked and rebellious nation. He goes, we only do half what you do, and we believe half what you say and half what you do. We don't believe nothing, okay? You've sent us out into three dispersions, Lord. Now, this is his chosen, y'all. Understand, this is God's chosen people. They have been brutally enslaved all throughout history. Well, would a loving God do that? If it's to get you to mind, if it's to get me to mind, yes, he will bring some issues into your life because he does love you. But Jeremiah would say, he said, Lord, how long will you keep putting up with Israel? How long, Lord? How long? God said, I'm going to give you something deep. He said, if anybody can ever count the stars in the heavens, he said, or if anybody could ever figure out how I laid the foundations of the earth. He said, that's when I turned my back on Israel. That's deep. Because people have been trying forever to figure out the foundations of the earth. People have been, they send a capsule out, and what do they see? More stars. But when that statement was written in Jeremiah, nobody knew there was all that up above the clouds, y'all. So for somebody to write that down, that's deep. He said, he goes, you're going to be in 2019 still trying to count the stars. That's deep. But for the rest of the scriptures, does he not say that you might know? That you might know. Stop pleading ignorance. That you might know. Open up this book. Embrace this book. Receive this book. He goes, I don't want you to miss out on this mystery. And when the Bible talks about a mystery, it's always talking about something that hitherto, this point, has been concealed. And the thing that we run into here in Romans 11, by the way, this portion of Romans 11 is speaking directly to the Gentile church. It's not talking to the Jews. He's explaining something to the Gentiles, that's us. What's a Gentile, Pastor? Anybody who's not of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The color of your skin has nothing to do with if you are a Jew. Has nothing to do. Actually, the color of your skin has little to do with anything. Since we're all one blood, amen? Isn't that what he say? All one blood? Okay. And God determined where we were going to be born. So, but he says what determines you is, are you of the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a Jew. Everybody else is a Gentile, okay? So you need that terminology. So he's speaking to the Gentiles, and why is this conversation coming up with the Gentiles? Because the Gentile church is just being formed in the book of Romans. They're being formed. They're getting the doctrine straight. Paul is preaching and teaching. And somebody, I don't know who it was, it's probably the guy sitting over in the corner somewhere, he said, well, how come the Jews get all saved? What's the big deal about them? I'm as holy as they are. You told me if I believe on the name of Jesus Christ, I'd get saved. What is so special about the Jews? And that's what he tells you there in that verse. He says, I don't want you to get all caught up in your own conceits, because if you don't think there's anything special about the Jews, you know they knew even then in the book of Romans that the Jews were turning their back on the gospel. They knew it then. And so the guy's saying, so if they're turning their back on the gospel, why are they getting special treatment? You'll find out as we proceed. We'll find out as we proceed. That's why God said, this has been a mystery. The Jews had always been given the very oracles of God. The gospel, the salvation is of the Jew. Jesus Christ came in the flesh as a Jew. And so now he's saying, I want you to understand that the Jews are still my chosen people. They're not better than you, but they're chosen to be an object lesson. And he goes, and right now, every time that Moses is read in the synagogue, in the temple, y'all remember the story where it says that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone so much that he had to wear a veil over his face. And what did the veil do? The veil Watch this. The Jews who were out here that he was talking to, they said, Moses, we can't, you got too much holiness. cover some of that up. And so he had to put the veil over, which veiled a little bit of that glory that he had reflected off of God. So they could not see as much of God's glory as they could because of the veil. He says, even today, whenever the law of Moses is read. So when learning the Ten Commandments is good. It's wonderful. It's perfect. It's God's perfect law. But understand, you won't get saved by the Ten Commandments. Because whenever the Ten Commandments are read, wherever they're read, there's a veil. There's a veil. But oh, God is so good. Because he says, the moment that they believe on Jesus, guess what? The veil is taken away. And then they see the purpose. Until that veil is taken away, you don't even understand the purpose of the Ten Commandments. You keep thinking that this is what I can do. No, when you get that veil lifted off, you understand that God says, I am the only one who can do this. So whoever you see do this is God in the flesh. And he tells him, he goes, there's a blindness. He's talking to the Gentiles. He said, there's a blindness over the Jews. There's a blindness over them right now. And he said, but I've made a promise to their fathers, not to them. He said, I've made a promise that all Israel shall be saved. He said, why? Because it is, in verse 26, because it is written. Do y'all know, I went online the other day, and they told me this book is full of mistakes and contradictions. And this book needs to be updated so I can find out what is really going on right now. And see, and I was under the impression that if it's written, it must be true. Amen. You know what? Jesus was under that delusion too. When Satan tempted him in the wilderness, what did Jesus say? He said, it is written. Oh, he didn't know that people wrote this and therefore it had to be corrupted because some man wrote it. And we know that that could never happen. No man could ever keep anything straight. No man can keep anything straight, but God can. And God did. So therefore, he tells him in the book of Romans, it's written. So I can stake my, not only will I stake, I will stake my salvation on what is written. Amen. So he goes, all Israel shall be saved. He goes, and then he says, look at this. He says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Verses 27 and 28. Say amen when you get there. Genesis 32, verses 27 and 28. Okay, love to hear those Bibles rustling. Okay, and it reads, and he said unto him, this is after Jacob was wrestling with the angel all night long. Wrestling with the angel. And at the break of dawn, we see this conversation going on. And he said unto him, the angel speaking to Jacob. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. That's an important verse, y'all. He's talking to Jacob, the trickster. And he's telling him he's going to be Israel, the prince of God. Back to Romans. He says, Romans 26. And so all Israel, the prince, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from who? Jacob. Huh. until Jacob believes the deliverer, who is Jesus Christ, who comes out of Jerusalem, until Jacob believes the deliverer, he don't become Israel until he believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does the Bible say? We start off, anybody who believes in the death, burial, and resurrection shall be saved. So therefore, all Israel, amen, shall be saved. Not everybody who says they're a Jew is going to be saved, because not all Jews are Jews. But all Israel shall be saved. I like that, because that assures me that God is going to send a deliverer. Don't forget, he sent his people and he dispersed them three times into captivity. Three times because of their rebellion. Three times. But these are the people who the very oracles of God came to. Three times. But he still kept, he kept after them. He said, because they're my people. How many of you mothers, how many of your fathers, how many of us still chasing after knucklehead kids? Crazy as they want to be. And every night we get on our knees and say, Lord, Lord, get them. Get them. Get them. Bring him back here. And save him. Save him, God. So if we do that, why wouldn't God do that? He's the best parent ever. And he says, he tells you over and over, he goes, those are my children. And he says, and I'm sending that deliverer, that deliverer, that's the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming out of Zion, coming out of Jerusalem. By the way, who, you know, when back in last year, in April of last year, there's all this hoopla about who does Jerusalem belong to? Does it belong, is it a disputed territory, or does it belong to the Jews? Read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bibles. The deliverer is coming out of Jerusalem, which belongs to Israel. Always has, always will. Don't let the world get you to dispute what it's only disputed by people who don't believe the word of God. Amen. And why is God so intent on explaining to us that this is what he's going to do? He says, because, verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. This is not the covenant between me and them. He said, this is my covenant to them. See, I want y'all to understand, when God made the covenant, when he made the promise to Abraham, to Abram, he put the boy to sleep. He said, because he probably lie anyhow. But he put him to sleep. Why? So that you and I and the whole world would understand, this is God's covenant. God said, this is my name at stake. Not me and Abraham. This is my name at stake. And I made the promise. And he says, I made the promise when I shall take away their sins. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to send a deliverer. He said, I'm going. And we all know about the Great Tribulation. Or at least we know someone. There's going to be a lot of just really awful things. Awful, awful things. There's already been the Holocaust. Anti-Semitism. These are horrible things that are happening to the Jewish people. But God said, I'm going to drive them. I'm going to drive them to me. They're going to come to me. And they're going to come to me because I gave my word to Abram. Check this out. So now he's speaking just to the Gentiles. This portion of Romans 11 is just to the Gentiles. He says in verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. This gospel message that you and I have, this good news of Jesus Christ, you give this good news to a Jewish person. As Brother Phil spoke yesterday on the program, you are an enemy to them. Because you're trying to take them away from the fathers. You're trying to take them away from the fathers. And they put more stock in the fathers than they do the good news of Jesus Christ. And it says, he goes in verse 28, he said, according to the gospel, there are enemies for your sakes, Gentiles, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Now, he's not talking about Heavenly Father. He's talking about the patriarchs. He's saying Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He said, because of the promise I made to them, I'm going to save them. Y'all remember in the Bible, for Solomon, King David was his daddy. Solomon was wise, wisest man who ever lived. Great, great man of God. Wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Did all kinds of nice stuff. But Solomon ended up doing some stuff he really had no business doing. And when he messed up, and he messed up big time. I don't know where the scripture is, but I just remember where God said to Solomon, he said, because of your daddy's sake, I'm not going to take the kingdom away from you right now. Okay? You don't deserve it. But because of your daddy's sake. Any of y'all ever have friends who got picked up by the popo? And you live in one of those little small towns and popo got you off to the side. They say, ain't you Johnny's boy? Depends on what Johnny you're talking about. And you know he know your daddy. You know he know your daddy. And you know you've been caught cold busted. You know it. But you know oftentimes it happened back then. It still happens today, y'all. Police get a bad name. Police get a really bad name. They might look at you and say, you know what? I got you. And I could do X, Y, Z to you. But because I know your parents and I know what stock you came from, I'll give you another chance. Oh, praise God. Praise God, y'all. Y'all, don't y'all know that we were out there? We was just out there. And God's given us. We were not even a people. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we were without hope. But he said, I'm going to give you another chance. He says, I'm going to take this gospel message that I gave to the Jews, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to set them on the back burner. I'm not through with them. I'm going to set them on the back burner, and I'm going to give you this gospel message. So look at God's plan. We talked about salvation is available for all. We talked about all Israel shall be saved. And I want you to know that the Gentiles have always been a part of God's plan. You and I, Gentiles, we've always been a part of God's plan. Rahab, she saved the entire nation when they came into Jericho and the harlot, Rahab. She saved them. She hid the spies. Ruth, Gentile, not only a Gentile, a Moabitess. You know what a Moabitess is? That even sounds nasty. Moabitess. Their whole clan was the result of an incestuous relationship. And God said they ain't never, ever, 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 ever coming into the temple. But he goes, I hold my curses against those from generation to generation. He said, but I have mercy upon thousands who call on my name. You know what took that curse off of Ruth? I had an intense fellowship with a brother. You know, a few years ago, everybody was peddling generational curses. There's a lot of money in peddling generational curses. Problem is, the moment that you or I or anybody decides to cry out to the Lord for mercy, it blows the whole curse. Amen. But boy, can we peddle them generational curses. You send me some money, I'll get you out that curse. Yeah, shut up. Anyhow, I digress. Anyhow, he said, what was that? The gospel, God has used Gentiles all throughout history. Ruth, she broke that Moabitess curse by telling Naomi, your God be my God. Your people be my people. And guess what? Curse is gone. I'm here to tell anybody here today who has never believed on the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to understand, if you don't do something about your situation, you're already on your way to hell. The Bible says that's already set in motion. But he says, but if you don't, if you want to change your destination, call on the name of the Lord. If you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, you know what that means? He goes, you shall be saved. Ah, praise God for mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. Okay, God has always used Gentiles in his work ever since the beginning of time. So here's what I want you to see. He says, in verse 29, the reason that God's going to save them, he says, they're enemies for your sake. They're beloved for the sake of their fathers, the forefathers, the patriarchs. He says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God says, once I make a promise. And see, y'all, this is why it's encouraging to us that God continues to work with the Jews and through the Jews, because he says, once I make a promise, it's a done deal. He goes, I will keep my word. You need to know this. Stop letting people tell you, well, if you act up, you just might lose your salvation. Will you just slap them? I'm sorry. I repeat, slap them. Because once God makes a promise, he keeps his word. And you need to know this. And you need to tell the world about this. Our God is not like other gods. He ain't fickle. He's not capricious. He's God, and he's God all by himself. And if he says it's going to get done, it's done. What does this mean to you in the Greek? It is finished. I just don't know how they do it and get away with it. Besmirking the name of God. He says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And then we're going down here to verse 30. Verse 30. He says, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Here's the twist. Here's the twist. Here's the crux of this text. This is how God, I told you, everybody. I started by telling you, salvation is available to all. Here's how God, look at God's plan. Oh my goodness, look at his plan. All this was laid out before the foundations of the earth. God said, he goes, verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, speaking to the Gentiles, speaking to the Gentiles, referring the Jews. These have not now believed that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. Oh, I skipped 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Let me tell you, okay, let me work this in. Do you realize that you and I have been called to duty? We have been called to duty. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, to the Jew first. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of salvation unto God and unto man. He says, but it's to the Jew first, and also, not and then, but also the Greek. The Greek is the Gentile, synonymous. We're doing pretty good on the also. But I won't even ask you how many of y'all been witness to the Jews. I won't even ask you. We're not getting it done, y'all. And he's telling you right here in this text, the reason that we obtained mercy in the first place. Now, this was an accident. This was all part of God's plan. The reason we obtained mercy was because of their unbelief. And watch where you come in. Watch where I come in. He goes, and the way they're going to be brought back in to the fold, because salvation is for everybody, to the Jew first, is by your mercy. You hear me? All them people you be talking about, I don't like them Jews. They got all that money. Yeah. Read your Bible. Oh, by the way, there's some broke Jews too. I know a couple of them. There's nothing, there's some broke everybody, broke every culture. There's nothing uncommon to man that's occurring in your life or in their life. Don't believe the nonsense that you hear. Every culture has difficulty. Every culture has heartache. Every culture has women getting beat, boys going to jail. Every culture. Stop believing the nonsense. Because the Bible says we are all one blood. And the Bible says God determined our habitation. How'd I end up over here? God put me here. How y'all got stuck with me? Because God put me here. He says to the Gentiles, don't take this lightly. He goes, I want my people saved. And I'm going to use you to do it. What a privilege. What a privilege. You read in the scripture, you say, well, so God, the Bible tells you that Moses saw the burning bush. And Moses went over to the bush. Voice came to him out the bush. And we read that and we go, collectively, we go, ooh. Riddle me this one, Batman. God put the Holy Spirit in you. A burning fire. And he says, just what he said to Moses. He said, Moses, go get my people. He's saying to you, and he's saying to me, that fire, go get my people. They're my chosen. They're my children. And I saved you specifically for this. The other things we're doing are good. It's good. But he says to the Jew first. And then he gives you a wonderful caveat. He goes, in Genesis 3:12. He goes, if you do this, I'll bless you. Oh, man, what a deal. What a deal. God says, if you will just set this aside as a priority. Yeah, but God, I need some money. God, I got bad health. God, I need this, and God, I need that. God says, I know that. I already told you. Don't you worry about what you're going to wear, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to eat. Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you that when I saved you? Didn't I tell you when I adopted you? I told you when I adopted you to the best daddy in the world. I had a good daddy. I never had to go to my daddy and say, Daddy, did you pay the rent this month? Daddy, are we gonna have dinner today? I never had to do that. You know why? Because my daddy went to work. Jesus said, work while it's day. He said, I work because my daddy worked. Yeah? We got a challenge. We got a charge. He says, take this. He goes, and as you have mercy on the, what is this word? The correlation between how much mercy you exhibit to them ties directly into them receiving the gospel message. Amen. And it's not so much how you preach to them, it's how they see the joy in your life. If you don't have the joy in your life, you can't offer to anybody else, y'all. You can't offer because they'll see a fake mile away. The Gentiles have always been part of God's work. And last thing, verse 33. Verse 32 and 33. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Let's tie this all together. Tie this all together. God picked the Jews. He made a promise to the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he told Jacob that I'm going to make you Israel. And he says, when I make you Israel, you're all going to be saved. And oh, by the way, I know some of y'all are going to stay Jacob, but the ones that are going to be Israel, I'm going to save all y'all. And oh, by the way, those Gentiles that I told you to go out and give the gospel to, that you didn't give the gospel to, guess what? Now I've taken the gospel from you. I set it over here with them. And now I'm telling these people who were not a people, that were not a people, lost it on their way to hell. He goes, hey, I got some good news. I sent my son, my only son. And if you believe that, the Gentiles didn't know nothing about Jewish stuff. They didn't know anything about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All they knew was them Jews. But then when they heard that gospel message, because there was no veil on their face, and they heard that gospel message, they said, wait a minute, you mean that I can be forgiven of all my sins? You mean all the dirt, all the low-down, dirty stuff? I can be forgiven of all my sins? I can enter into the kingdom of God by confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? You got it! It's called good news. Let's tell that. Let's take that message to the whole world. He said, and because God has, he has found everybody in unbelief so that he might have mercy on everybody. See, that way no Jews don't get to say, nah, 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 nah. He says, because I have found them all in unbelief so that I might have mercy on all. And when God has mercy on all, guess what? Everybody has to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I came with nothing. I got nothing. I came in with nothing. I'm leaving with nothing. But I got Jesus. I got Jesus. Last verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Understand, church, when God makes a promise, sometimes it's delayed. But he made a promise. He said, salvation is available for all. He said, all Israel shall be saved. The Gentiles are part of his plan. The plan is all God's plan. And he's saying to you and he's saying to me, because some folks are just hanging in there, hanging on. Understand, the Bible tells me that Daniel, man of God, Daniel was in the worst situation of his life, and Daniel prayed in agony, and he kept saying, Lord, when are you going to come? And then I saw something in the Bible that I found just so, I loved it, but it messed me up. The angel finally got there. I always got a picture of this in my mind. The angel come, like those cartoons. I'm here. Daniel said, what took you so long? Man, it was 21 days. I got your prayers, and God dispatched me, but I had to fight my way through heaven and hell. I had to get over here because God said, Daniel needs help. Your blessing delayed. It's not denied. Understand, when God's children call out to him, when you cry out unto the Lord, the message is there. And he's always on time. Something you need to know. God bless you.